Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer, and today I'm going to tell you exactly how I went from a brick and mortar business to a virtual law firm. How I started in the office and how I took my company completely remotely and how we've consistently grown year after year by building a virtual business. Now, if you're a law firm owner or an attorney, this is going to be extremely valuable to you. But even if you're just a business person in the service-based industry, you can benefit from this podcast. It's going to give you ideas on how you can implement virtual working into your business. If you sell products, you can move this into an e-commerce business. But for the most part, in the service-based industry, going virtual is the way to go right now. And honestly, after COVID, the world changed. People didn't want to come into the office in person. They were worried about in-person contact. There was not as much handshaking and hugging and fist bumping, so we had to acclimate to that new environment. But before I get into all that, I'm gonna tell you a quick story. In June, July-ish of 2017, I had just started my law firm. It was just a few months after I quit my job as an associate attorney and started my firm. And I decided to go to Jamaica with a couple of my friends for a vacation. I hadn't been on a vacation in a long time. We wanted to pick a tropical place so we could just literally chill on the beach and relax. And I took my laptop with me to that vacation, and I took my business phone with me, my iPhone, so I can stay in contact with clients. And I realized while I was out for about a week, week and a half, the entire time while I was in Jamaica, I was vacationing, I was taking the day trips, we were going cliff diving and swimming and snorkeling and all sorts of fun stuff, eating the best food, chilling with the Jamaican locals, and I was still able to maintain my business. I was still able to work from anywhere in the world. I had my phone, so I was communicating with clients. I gave them timelines on when they should expect updates, and my business just kept flowing. There were actually no hiccups whatsoever. And I thought, what if I made this the standard for everyone in my business? What if I let every single person in my firm be able to work anywhere in the world? Because after all, most of the legal work is done behind a computer or on the phone. We rarely go into the courtroom unless you're actually trying a case or you have a hearing. And even depositions these days are done via mediation, or the depositions and mediations are done via Zoom. So we don't really even need to go into an office. So from that point on in 2017, before 3 years before COVID, years before I actually started hiring a lot of people, I decided that every single person in my firm was gonna get a brand new MacBook and a brand new iPhone when they first started. And when I hired my first paralegal later that year, I brought in a brand new MacBook, and even for every other paralegal thereafter, I would buy all new equipment so we could work completely remotely. This was back in 2018. So the rule was established: make sure you have the proper equipment for working remotely. For us, that was a brand new MacBook and a brand new iPhone when you first started. And then make sure that you have all the proper software systems in place. So hardware is important, but software could be even more important, right? Because they work hand in hand. For us, we had five major softwares that we worked on. For the case management software, we use Filevine, which is a cloud-based CRM, client relations manager. We had Dropbox, where we would store all of our files. We used Zoom for our phones, so we would communicate with clients via Zoom calling, where all the calls are recorded for quality assurance and training purposes. And it had an inbound and outbound text messaging service integrated with it. We also used Slack for inter-office communications, and we used VineSign or DocuSign for signing up contracts and getting release forms and anything else that required a signature from clients. So by using all of those software systems, in addition to having a 24-hour receptionist service, we used Lex Reception for our 24-hour reception service, being able to text clients whenever we wanted to, being able to call them and record all the calls so we could store it to the file, saving all of their documents to the cloud, and also having a hard drive storage for all those documents, we were able to basically run the entire firm completely virtually, just with the right hardware and software. And so if you're in a business right now, a service-based business, especially a law firm, and you're trying to figure out where you could save a little bit of money so that you can invest that towards a better client experience, think about how your clients actually want to communicate with you. If you're forcing your clients to come into the office 3 or 4 days after an accident, when their car is totaled and they don't have a method of transportation and they've already gone through a very difficult process, sometimes the most difficult time in their lives, and you're forcing them to do something that they don't want to do you really think you're the best fit for them? Do you really think clients always want to communicate via email or even fax? No. People want to be able to text you. They want to be able to get calls for updates. They want to feel like you're actually working for them and accommodating their needs. And in 2022 and beyond, you have to acclimate to that environment. I would say that this same exact law firm 10 years ago probably would not have worked. But 10 years from now, everyone is going to have a virtual element. So make sure you have the right hardware and software in place when you want to go virtual. Now, there's another thing that you have to keep in mind is how do you hold your employees accountable? How do you make sure your team is rowing in the same direction and everyone is focused on that same goal? Well, in a virtual environment, that's hard to do unless you have a meeting rhythm. And we do all of these meetings on Zoom, so they're recorded. We regularly check in with our team members multiple times a week, give them training, and we give them very specific accountability and deadlines that they have to meet, especially in the first 90 days. When we bring on a new person and we onboard a new employee, we don't give them any slack in the first 90 days because this is usually the best performance that you're going to have from this person. And if in the first 90 days you're not wowed, the standard being, I would not enthusiastically rehire this person, then you got to cut them loose. And it's not like you're mistreating these people because you're also saving them from heartache down the road. Some people don't perform that well in the first 90 days due to circumstances outside of their control. Family issues, emergencies, maybe they had an illness or mental issue that they were struggling with, but they're showing a lot of promise and they're showing improvement. For me, that's enough. But hey, you're much better than when you were from day one compared to day 90, but I can see that there's going to be a good trajectory in sight. But the people that give you a fantastic first week or 2 weeks and then go downhill, those are bad employees. They just wanted to make a good impression, make a splash in the very beginning, and they want you to feel like they're working and putting in effort when they're really not. And it's very easy to tell when someone is actually putting in effort or not. And you know how you can tell? With the questions that they ask you when you're speaking with them. If I'm carrying a conversation with you, you're working for my firm, and we're going over a case, we're going over an issue, we're talking about a client, and you ask me a question that is so unrelated or so off point to the conversation that we're having, I can tell you're not paying attention and your mind is not focused. And if you do too many of those, I start looking very, very specifically at the quality of your work and I start picking it apart. You know why? Because where there's smoke, there's fire. And if I smell smoke, I'm gonna find that fire. And usually, it's better to get rid of that fire and extinguish it before it's too late. I like to compare a bad employee to a cancerous wart or mole on your body. Your body is a system of organs, just like your business is an organization. And when someone has a cancerous mass on their body, the surgeon has to come in and operate and remove that cancerous mass before it metastasizes and spreads throughout the entire body. A bad employee is the same exact way. If you don't cut out that bad employee, they will leech onto other organs, i.e. other employees in your organization, metastasize, and your entire organization, your entire body will become cancer-ridden, and it will die. Cut the cancerous people out of your organization as quickly as possible. That applies in business, and that applies in life and well. There are a couple other issues that we like to look at when trying to virtualize a business or a law firm. Accounting needs to be outsourced. It's very hard to keep an in-house accountant that's in charge of all of your checks, all of your trust account consolidation, all of the disbursements, unless you have a third-party source that can draft the checks and mail them to your clients without any issues, with a very streamlined process. So we outsourced our accounting back in 2018. Now, when we have a disbursement sheet or a settlement memo that's ready to close, we can email it to accounting. Actually, it's automatic. The moment the disbursement sheet gets signed, it automatically sends to the accounting team. The accounting team will draft the check within 24 hours and mail it to the client or deliver it to the office so the client can pick it up in person. So accounting must be outsourced if you want to virtualize your law firm. Marketing should also be completely digital. It's really hard to virtualize a business when your marketing is basically in person. The beautiful thing about video and content creation is that you can take this video and plaster it all over the internet and run it as an ad for as long as you want, because it's unlimited in the exposure that you can get. But if you're doing in-person events, like you're going to a charity event, or you're going to a golf outing, or you're going to a cookout, and this is how you market your business, you go to tournaments, whatever it is, and this is the only way that you're actually marketing your business, you're limited to the one-on-one communication that you have. Yes, it's a higher quality communication with those prospective clients, but it cannot be amplified. So you're limited with yourself being the bottleneck. If you think about a bottle, right? Where's the bottleneck? At the top. You, being at the top of your organization, are usually the bottleneck of your organization. So you have to think about ways to eliminate that bottleneck and spread it out. Nothing better than digital marketing, because you can decide where you want to put your efforts and your resources. And the moment you're like, hey, we're bringing in way too many clients, way too many cases, we need to scale it back down, like we did at the beginning of this year, we cut our marketing down by 60% because we were actually bringing in way too many cases. So that's why we decided to scale it back, build up our infrastructure, hire some more people, and now we're slowly bringing it back up. You can't really do that with in-person events that you're already committed to. You can't really do that with billboard advertising where you've already committed for a 6-month, year, 2 years. You can't really do that with traditional media in a sense, but with digital, you absolutely can. So make sure you have at least some sort of digital marketing component to your business. For us, it's the majority of our business. And I don't mean just Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. I mean digital marketing in general, with Google, SEO, PPC, pay-per-click, with LSA, the local service ads, with LinkedIn marketing, Indeed for recruiting employees. Make sure digital is a part of your strategy, or a significant part of your strategy. The other thing that makes it is very difficult in a virtual law firm, but we've figured out how to do well, is building a culture. And you think that you have to be in person for people to be in tune and in line, and really, you don't need them to be in each other's faces every single day. You just need a couple of really strong people that embody your culture. Those are usually your leaders and your directors that can pass along that same exact sort of excitement, vibe, energy, and culture to the rest of your organization. And the way that we do that is we have one-on-one training with all of our leaders and directors, and we have meetings for our entire team. Well, we'll take them out to like Topgolf. We'll go go-karting for a day at Andretti's. We have a Six Flags day planned. We'll just take everyone out to dinner, like all-you-can-eat steak at Fogo de Chao. We'll have all these different in-person events, and we like to acknowledge our best employees and the people that have been putting in a lot of effort. And we like to give them some gifts that are actually personal. And so by doing those in-person events, usually every 4 to 8 weeks, it's enough to keep people engaged and excited and something to look forward to, while at the same time not being an overwhelming burden. I like to have those events during the week, during work hours, so people don't feel punished for coming to these events after hours or during the weekend. But we did take a poll recently, and a lot of the team members didn't have a problem with spending a day at Six Flags on a Saturday, especially if we were going to include their family and their loved ones. So these are ways that we build up that culture and incentivize. And by the way, if you're working virtually, you're obviously not paying rent. We do have a couple of brick and mortar locations, but they're very small. We have one office or two office assistants in there, and that's it, just to handle the checks and the correspondence. But we don't have the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month overhead. Well, If you're going virtual, take that $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month and invest it back into your team. The ROI will be incalculable. It's so great. So make sure that when you save money, you're actually reinvesting it in the right part of your business instead of just saying, oh, I'm saving money and put it in my pocket, because a virtual business will not survive that way. And finally, to recap, we talked about marketing, we talked about software, hardware, accounting, the Zoom meetings, the rhythms. We talked about our first 90 days of hiring. There's a few more things that we like to do to kind of make it a culture where the people that work with us actually really like it. So we have an unlimited bonus structure, and we have virtual assistant support. The unlimited bonus structure is essentially anytime you get a positive review, a Google review online, you get a 5-star review, you get a bonus. And there is no limit to how many you can get. Obviously, you're only limited by the amount of clients that we have. And I learned this outbound customer service strategy from a mentor of mine who basically created an outbound customer service department in his business and said, look, everyone is required to reach out to clients, see how they're doing, and if they're happy with the services, then you ask for a Google review. Well, we hired one person to basically be in charge of that, call all of our existing clients. He went through the entire list in like a month or two, got a bunch of Google reviews, and then it's like, okay, well, now what? Well, we did that prior work, but what about the current work with all the existing clients that we have? So instead of bringing an outside person and paying them that money, we decided to just pay our existing staff with unlimited bonuses for any 5-star review that they would get on Google. And it has worked beautifully. On average, our top performers are getting between 10 to 20% over their base salary. And as a result, our clients are happy, because happy clients usually don't leave you bad reviews. And dissatisfied clients usually don't leave you good reviews. So it's a way to make sure that you have good customer service while also rewarding your team. In addition, we want our US-based team members to be working on higher level skilled tasks. We don't need our $30 an hour employees working on basically waiting on a call to set up a claim with an insurance company. That's something that a virtual assistant can do, and you can get those for $4 or $5 an hour. So we've also instituted virtual assistants, and we're trying to implement that firm-wide so that every single person has a virtual assistant. My media team, they each have their own virtual assistant. My admins and lawyers each have their own virtual assistant. And now we're adding virtual assistants to our intake team, to our paralegals and our case managers, so that we can have a 24-hour business running. While you're sleeping, they're working. And if they're each working in 8-hour increments, if each one person has 2 virtual assistants, we can essentially work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And a lot of times in other countries, these virtual assistants don't celebrate the same holidays that we have in the US. So you also have people working during the holidays. And you can find a way for the virtual assistants to replace some of the existing programs and software systems that you have. Like our reception service. We might spend a couple $1,000s a month on the reception service, which is the same price as 2 full-time virtual assistants. Well, why don't you look at the amount of calls, the call volume that your reception service is taking, see when you can hire a VA to take over that particular time, and then any extra time, you can have them doing additional tasks for your team. It's simple. Now you have full-time employees, you're saving money, and there's a lot less stress and pressure off of your main US-based team. So we want to elevate the salaries, the compensations, the culture, the energy, the overall status of our initial teams, our US-based teams, support them with virtual assistants. Because your American team is only going to get more expensive every single year. And unless you have a growth trajectory that's consistent with the increased labor costs, you're going to get into a pinch. So you might as well figure that out before it's too late. So those are all the different strategies that we have for virtualizing a law firm. But I will say this. There's one thing that's more important than everything that we just discussed. And it's whether you as a CEO or business owner are embracing the work from home and the virtual life for your law firm. If you're the type of person that loves coming into the office, you feel like you have to have control over your employees being in front of you every single day, it's tough for you to relinquish control and trust people, then the work from home is not gonna work for you. You also have to look at your employees. We found that millennials, Gen Z, and even parents with young kids or kids at home prefer working from home because they can still have lunch with their kids, have a break to go pick them up from school or take them to soccer practice or whatever, and still work around their life schedule. But if we were forcing that same person to drive 1.5 hours each way to get to work, to fight traffic, they're gonna get stressed, they're gonna put wear and tear on their car, they're gonna spend that extra money. No one really likes having to wake up super early to get a short work day in. They're gonna waste time at the office too because they need that first 30 to 45 minutes to get coffee and get prepared. And the good employees will really appreciate being able to work from home. So if you're always wondering, how are you gonna be able to trust people or keep them accountable or make sure they're actually doing the work? It's very easy. You give them specific tasks to focus on, and then you verify that those tasks get done. And if in the first 90 days they don't perform well, you gotta cut them loose. But the good employees are gonna want to stay. They're gonna realize this is a tremendous opportunity, and they're going to want to put in that extra effort. Not all of them are gonna be that way. We personally have a 70% turnover rate in the first 90 days, meaning in the first 3 months of hiring someone, there's a 70% chance they're not gonna last. And that's because hiring is guessing and firing is knowing. You're gonna learn who is a good fit for your organization. But until you embrace the work from home and the virtual reality of our businesses, it's not going to work for you. So those are my recommendations. And this is exactly how we built a virtual law firm and how we're continuing to grow and have been voted the number one fastest growing law firm in America. I hope this has helped you in trying to figure out whether a virtual law firm is a good fit for you. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.